know, that when a person comes back for a funeral, from a funeral, that's the best time for them to make a decision about their estate plan, buying life insurance, and all those other things, because they're in a self-reflective state of mind. People are in a self-reflective state of mind right now, and they will be for the next several weeks or months. And it's a tremendous opportunity to help people make decisions who might otherwise have been sitting on a fence, on the fence. All right. Modern technology, dating back to the fax machine, has allowed the proactive law firm owner and forward-thinking law firm administrator to facilitate new client engagements by telephone. So now there's all kinds of ways for us to be of service with the internet and everything else. So don't get caught up on how to do that. We are going to be offering programs next week on how to set up the technology. And we're going to be offering a tech support line to help you with the technology. And we're going to be teaching courses next week on how to communicate more effectively with a virtual team and all of that. So don't get caught up on all that stuff right now. Right now, what you need to be doing is calling and reaching out to and being there for your clients. They don't have anyone to really talk to about what's going on. You think they do, but they don't. Just think about yourself. You don't even know me. Before 3 or 4 days ago, we were total strangers. And yet we've spent all of these hours together talking about what's on your mind, because there's so few people out there who are doing anything like this for anyone. When you do this for your clients, you're going to see, they're going to react very, very positively. Maybe a few of them won't. Don't worry about them. You're doing the right thing anyway. So all this pretty much really boils down to, don't be a jerk. Don't be a fair weather friend. That's all you have to do, is don't be a fair weather friend. Be the opposite of a fair weather friend. Be the opposite of transactional. And you will transform the nature of your relationship, of the relationship you have, of the relationship your firm has with its clients, its former clients, and everyone else. Even your staff will be transformed when you put into practice what I'm going to be teaching you, what I've been teaching you for the last 4 days, and what I'm going to keep teaching you more about today. Don't be stingy with your wisdom and your experience and all of the work that you've done to get yourself into the right mindset. Don't be stingy with that and just keep it to yourself. Don't sell your clients out or give up on their potential. Don't just leave them to their own devices to figure this out on their own. So what's the opposite of a jerk? What's the opposite of an asshole? The opposite is being a mensch. M-E-N-S-C-H. Mensch. It's a German word. It means a person of integrity and honor. Be a person of real integrity and honor. Be a person who has loyalty to your former clients. You know, just because they're former clients doesn't mean you don't owe them loyalty. Forget about the bar rules. We're going way beyond bar rules. We answer to a higher authority. Being a mensch, being a person of integrity and honor, forget about just being a lawyer. We're talking about being a person, a human being of integrity and honor. And it means remembering that person who 5 years ago, when you needed some business and you needed someone to trust you, and that person came along and they entrusted you with what was probably at the time the most important matter of their life, and they paid you, and you used that money to buy food to feed your family, and you used that money to buy a car or to buy a gift for your children, or use that money to take your family on a vacation or pay for tuition, or use it to make a mortgage payment or maybe a down payment on a house. What, now that their case or matter is over, you just forgot about them? Oh, they'll figure it out. What good are they? You know, what? They're not going to hire me again. How about just being a mensch? It will pay handsome dividends for you, not only morally, not only ethically, not only professionally, but financially too, precisely because of the fact that so few people conduct themselves that way. Most people are just worrying about you know, their own short-term needs, and they're not thinking about other people. All right, so I was going to read the How to Manage a Small Law Firm Written No Assholes Policy. I was going to read that for you, but I'm going to save some time. I'm not going to read that for you. But this is something that we send out to all prospective new members before they even come to the discovery day. We send this to them so they understand that this is what we're looking for in an A-plus client member. This is what we look to avoid. The point is, I think if you were to make a policy of your own of what you define as an A client and what you define as a B client or a C client or a D client or an F client for your firm, I think that pretty high up on that list, probably an A or a B, would be someone who's loyal, someone who remembers the good things your firm did for them even after the case or the matter has come to a conclusion. Well, if you want to have clients like that, you have to be that kind of lawyer. You have to be that kind of law firm. You have to be that kind of person. So I'm not going to read that to you, but I think that it's worth considering what your definition of the A client would be, and if loyalty and caring about other people and taking an active interest in their case or their matter, if any of those things are part of your definition of an A client, well, then you ought to, you know, practice what you preach, or don't complain that you get what you get. So let's start with a question. What benefits would your law firm be able to enjoy if your clients trusted you more? And here are some examples of some ways that you can expect it to benefit you if you can earn more trust with your clients. And remember, trust has to be earned, not just deserved. And this is something that I've noticed is a real issue in the last three or four calls that we've had in this symposium. Lawyers tend to think that since they deserve trust of their clients, that they somehow should automatically get it. But they don't. That's not how it works in the real world. It's not just enough to be deserving of trust. We must earn it also. So when the client comes to trust you more, they proactively reach out to you for advice. They're more inclined to accept and act on your recommendations. They bring you in on more advanced, more complex strategic issues. They treat you as you wish to be treated, with respect. They share more information that helps you help them. They refer you to their friends and business acquaintances. There's lower stress in your interactions with them, both for them and for you. That's an important one, and for your team. They give you the benefit of the doubt. They forgive you when you make a mistake, not if you make a mistake, because we all make mistakes. When you make a mistake, they forgive you when there's a higher level of trust. If you're working with a business, they tend to warn you of dangers that you could avoid, maybe with their board of directors or with the politics. They're more comfortable with you, and they allow you to be more comfortable with them. They involve you early on when their issues begin to form rather than later in the process, and they might even call you first. They trust your instincts and judgment, including those about other people, such as your colleagues and theirs. So trust is a human condition. It's a human relationship that we have as professional service providers. And as much as you want to talk about your firm and their business and you're the lawyer, you're still human beings. They're a human being, you're a human being, and the bottom line is that trust takes place between human beings, between individuals. That's why you can't just do gas calls by email. You got to do them one by one, human being to human being. Now remember, it doesn't have to be you making the call. It could be someone on behalf of your firm. I told you earlier today that we have one of our members who, her husband, was laid off from his job or was furloughed from his job. So he's now making gas calls on behalf of her law firm. Ring, ring. Hi, my name is, name happens to be Dave. You won't know that, but his name's Dave. Hi, my name is Dave. I work, my so-and-so is my wife. She's the owner of a law firm that's representing you. And I'm calling you today to talk for a few minutes. If you have a few minutes, don't worry. There's nothing wrong. We're not charging you for this. We're just calling because, you know, everyone in the firm, I don't even work in the firm normally, but so-and-so, she cares so much about her clients and the firm cares so much about its clients that we're bringing in everyone. And even though I don't work in the firm, I'm calling to just see how you're doing. And then, you know, ask a series of questions and the person starts talking because you're human beings making a connection. So the question is, why is the client's conception of the professional's role often so narrow that you never get to experience the benefits of real trust that comes from being a trusted advisor? And the answer is because the professional, the lawyer, often limits his or her own conceptions of their own role. In other words, if you just think of yourself as a family lawyer, if you just think of yourself as an estate planning lawyer, if you just think of yourself as a business attorney or a litigation attorney or a mortgage foreclosure defense attorney or an intellectual property attorney or anything like that, I could just go through all the practices. If you just think of yourself as a whatever, your main practice area is, well, then you probably also just think of the client as a file. And if you're just thinking as a lawyer, and if they're just a file, then you don't actually really have a real human connection there. And you're never going to be able to be their trusted advisor, and you're never going to get to enjoy all the advantages that we trusted advisors enjoy as ambitious professionals. You know, clients don't just appreciate that you did a good job for them or that you're doing a good job for them. That is the bare minimum that they expect that you're going to do a good job for them. If you want them to appreciate you, the thing not to do is what a lot of lawyers do who are just craving appreciation. They try to get appreciation from the wrong people. It's like looking for love in all the wrong places. They try to tell the client what a hero they are. And they try to tell the client about, you know, how the sausage is getting made in the sausage factory. You know, you should appreciate me for what a hero I am for saving your ass in this case and blah, blah, blah. The client doesn't want to know that. They literally would prefer not to know that. And when you tell them that, they may humor you by listening, but really they wish you would just shut up. They don't want to know what a hero you are. What they want to know is how much you care about them, how much you understand them, how much you are thinking about and helping them plan for their future. Those are the kinds of things that I promise you your best clients always want. None of us begins our career as a trusted advisor, but that is the status to which most of us aspire. At least I hope you do. Instead, we usually begin as vendors performing a specific task or a one-off service, and we use our technical skills. And then we may perform really, really well, but our activities are limited in scope. And if the transactions, we may evolve into having a transactional relationship or our go-to source. But what we really want to know is what we really need to do is how do we become a trusted advisor? Trusted advisors are people who treat clients like people. Trusted advisors are people who are thinking about the client's future in ways and at times and at levels that the client often isn't even thinking. Trusted advisors are people who are able to make connections between problems and opportunities and causes and effects that the client can't make usually on their own, very often because we are objective. We're on the outside looking in. We can see the forest. They're trying to deal with the tree that's right in front of them right now, today, at this moment. And the way that you become a trusted advisor is by I've talked about this over and over and over again for the last 3 days, but I'm going to repeat it again. You help the client find clarity about where they are today in their life, in their business. Where do they want to be tomorrow in their life, in their business? Help them create a vision for a better future. Generally speaking, that future is going to be based on three different things. It's going to be based on their time, how they use their time today, how they get to use their time today, how they have to use their time today, how they want to use their time today, their money, how they get to earn their money today, how they have to earn their money today, how they want to earn their money today. And then money, of course, is income and assets, meaning how much money they've got to protect, equity in a house, for example, cash in the bank, versus income, source of income. Either way, it's money. How they want to be able to earn, how they want to be earning their money in the future, how much money they want to earn in the future, why any of that matters to them. And then reputation. What's the reputation like today? What's the reputation like today with their professional colleagues or their coworkers? What's the reputation like today with their family? What's the reputation like today with the person they see in the mirror? Are they proud of how their life is? Are they proud of the way they make decisions? Are they proud of the decisions that they're currently making? Because every day is a new opportunity to begin the rest of your life and start making different decisions. How do they want their reputation to be tomorrow? How do they want their reputation to be in the future? How do they want the relationships to be with their coworkers, with their colleagues, with their clients, with their customers, with their employers, with their family, with themselves? And you can help, a trusted advisor helps people fashion a plan and a path and a strategy to get from where they are now to where they want to be. And where the person says, I don't know how, the trusted advisor says, we don't need to figure out how. We first need to figure out what do you want. And then together we can figure out how to do it. Don't we all crave having someone like that in our lives? Well, I built a $15 million business by doing that for 400 of the most amazing law firm owners that you would ever be privileged enough to meet. That is the essence of what we do at How to Manage a Small Law Firm. And then, of course, we help them come up with the technical plans and the strategies and the tactics, and we help them write the business plans, then we help them make the marketing plans, and we help them make the sales strategies, and we help them document the processes and the policies and the procedures and the systems, and we share best practices and help them avoid making common mistakes, and we help them with staff issues and financial controls, and we hold them accountable to make sure that they're taking actions and all that kind of stuff. But the essence, the core, at the heart of what we do is what I just described to you. And here's the thing. You can do the exact same thing. You can do the exact same thing for your clients. And if you'll do that, you will wake up and you will find that you have earned the right to call a lot of people who give you money a client. And you will become their trusted advisor. And when you do that, your law firm will grow a lot. And then when things like pandemics and hurricanes and fires and floods and all kinds of crazy stuff that happens in the world, and it always happens, when things like that happen, instead of your clients running away from you and hiding, they come running to you and asking for help. Right now, not only are we doing all this stuff to help our clients, that are members of How to Manage a Small Law Firm, but we actually, at our live quarterly meetings, we actually run a kids entrepreneur club. We call it Kids Club. And every quarter, members who attend our live quarterly meeting bring their kids up to age 13. They bring their kids and they put them into our Kids Club. And we teach their kids about business and we teach their kids about entrepreneurialism, and their kids love it. And they just harangue their parents when they get to go back, and they have competitions for who can build little businesses and who can make the most money. And these kids are making hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It's very exciting. So right now, every day at 1 p.m., we're running a virtual kids club. And we have members from all over the country whose kids are actually participating in our virtual kids club every day at 1 o'clock. And today our members asked, "This is so great. My kids love it so much. Could you expand it and let me enroll my staff's kids in the kids club so that my staff doesn't have to worry about their kids when we're all working virtually and they can be focused on helping me focus on my clients?" Our members are asking for these things. Most of the programs that we've created, millions and millions of dollars worth of workshops that we've delivered around the country on all different topics, from selling to marketing to staff to training non-attorneys how to sell to financial controls and financial literacy and everything you can think of, almost all of that comes from our members trusting us enough and depending on us enough and relying on us enough that they come and they ask us to create programs for them. Our entire bookkeeping business that we created, small law firm bookkeeping that doesn't suck, came because members came to us and asked, "Would you please create something like this for us?" The point that I'm trying to make, if it sounds like I'm bragging, you're 100% right. I am bragging because I think it's just such a huge compliment to my team and also to me that we've earned that status as trusted advisor. So when you have a pandemic and something like that happening, instead of freaking out like so many people are doing, we're actually able to not only help our members, but we can even help all of you. This is what I want for all of you. I want for all of you as owners of professional services firms to experience, to know what it's like to go through life as the owner of a business that is considered to be a trusted advisor to its clients and even its vendors. Because, oh man, I mean, over and above the money, just the professional satisfaction, the peace of mind, the personal fulfillment that you can enjoy. I know I'm laying it on pretty thick here because I really want you to take this seriously and do the things that I've been talking about doing for the last 4 days and not look for all the reasons why it might not work. Don't look for ways to shortcut it. Don't look for ways to make it so efficient that it stops being effective, that it stops being authentic, that it stops being real. Okay. This was all a big buildup to the lesson on how to do what I want you to do. How to do what I want you to do is very, very simple. In fact, it's so simple that you may even be tempted to dismiss it as being too simple. But that, if you do that, you would be doing so at your own peril. It's very, very simple. You can build a multi-million dollar business just doing what I'm about to describe for you. We have members who generate hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in extra revenue every year just by doing exactly what I'm about to tell you, exactly what to do and how to do it. And then we'll go to Q&A. you're going to pick up the phone, excuse me, first, you're going to make a list of your clients, your former clients, every prospective client who's come in to see the firm for the last year, who didn't hire the firm, your referral sources, and your vendors. And you're going to pick up the phone and you're going to call them. And I'm going to send you a script at the end of this call. So you'll see exactly what you can say. Do not read the script word for word. Say the script in your own words. So it's from the heart. So it's authentic. So it's real. After you yourself personally pick up the phone and have conversations with no less than 10 or 12 of your clients or former clients or prospective new clients, then you can get anyone on your team to help you. And you can share the script with them and you can train them and give them the Excel spreadsheet that we'll share with you so you can track everything. And then your firm will blow up in a good way. I mean, things will get really, really big. So just to put this in perspective, Stephanie, get ready. We're going to go to Q&A. Stephanie, are you getting ready? All right.
Yeah, I'm here. Good.
We're going to go to Q&A.
Okay. So press *9 if you're on the phone. And if
we're not there yet, I'm giving you a heads up because I see you having a conversation with your team. And I just want to see you. Make sure you know I'm looking through my office at her office and she's having an impromptu meeting with her whole team. It seemed like they're all in her office talking about something.
But
I want to make sure you're tuned in.
Okay.
I'm going to send you the script. I'm going to send you the Excel sheet so you can track it yourself. You're going to call 10 or 12 people and have 10 or 12 actual conversations with 10 or 12 people. The good news is that because of the pandemic, because of the lockdown, it's actually a lot easier to reach these people than it normally is. And I'm talking about
hey, Arjun, we lost you. There's no sound. I think you muted yourself. This time, it's for real. Everyone else is saying that in the chat. Arjun, go tap on his window.
Okay. Oscar's going.
Sorry, everybody. Arjun, literally, we have glass offices, so we are trying to get his attention. Someone already went. Hang on. He'll come back on. Oh, his phone died.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, Oscar, your phone's unmuted. Sorry, everybody. Okay. Hang on just 1 second, everybody. We'll get Arjun back online in a minute.
Can you hear me?
Yep, there you are.
You can hear me? Yes?
Yes, we're good.
Okay. My phone literally it died. The battery didn't die. I think the phone died. You can hear me now?
No, you sound like you're really far away.
Can you hear me now?
No, you sound like you're really far away.
Okay, hang on. I'm trying to get the Bluetooth to connect.
Actually, you sound okay. I'm sorry. It was my volume. Go ahead.
Can you hear me okay now?
There's an echo, but
it's further away.
Everyone says they hear you fine, so.
Would someone who knows something about technology please come to my office?
Now you sound perfect. Stand wherever you're standing and keep talking.
I don't want to stand here the whole time. I want to.
Are your AirPods on?
I'm trying to get them on.
Jeffrey's on the way, but in the meantime, just sit tight and continue where you are.
Okay, so What's the last thing you heard me say? Because I said some really cool stuff.
You cut off like when you started a new thought. I'm sorry, I forgot by now.
I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. You're going to make a list of all of your clients. All of your current clients, name, email, phone number, and you know, make little notes about anything you can think about them or, you know, them. Not their case, but them as a person. Then you're going to pick up the phone and you're going to call those clients. And you're going to keep track of how long it takes you to have 10 conversations with clients. You may have to dial the call 50 times. You may have to dial 50 times to reach 10 people. But you're going to do that. Then after you've reached 10 people and had 10 meaningful conversations, even if it goes nowhere, then you can start to enroll other people to try and help you. Then you can try to enroll other people to try and help you. And pay attention, because if you get someone to try and help you, it might be a lawyer, it might be a secretary, it might be a spouse, it might be an adult kid who lives with you. Doesn't matter who it is. They don't have to work for your law firm full time. They don't have to be a lawyer to say that we give a crap about, that the firm gives a crap about you and we want to ask you these questions to make sure you're okay. And if it takes you 50 dials to reach 10 people and it takes them 20 dials to reach 10 people, then get them to tell you how they're doing it. Let them show you and learn from them. On the other hand, if it takes you 20 dials to reach 10 people and it takes them 50 dials to reach 10 people, well, now you've just learned a valuable management technique called keep track of how people perform so you can use data to know whether they're full of crap or not. That's it. I told you this was very, very simple. I'm going to try to get my phone working again, and then we're going to go to Q&A. Stephanie?
Yes?
I'm going to try to get my phone working again.
Are we moving to Q&A?
Yeah, momentarily.
So we can get a queue going if you guys want to press *9 if you're on the phone. If you're on Zoom in the participant tab or in the little three dots that say more, you can go ahead and also raise your hand. No one's raised their hands. I guess no one has questions. *9 if you're on the phone. And then if you are on the app or on your desktop on Zoom, there's a hand raise tool. There you go. Now I got some questions going. Arjun, are you ready for me to open up the Q&A?
Yeah, I see someone on the call saying, hi, I'm not part of your program yet.
He's the next person. I'm going to go ahead and unmute him.
I like the word yet. Would I still get the Excel sheet emailed to me? No, I'm a selfish prick who lives in a world of black, and I can't afford to send you the Excel spreadsheet. Of course I'm sending you the Excel spreadsheet. And the script, too.
Roland, you were unmuted. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. That was your only question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, that was my only question. Thank you. I'm glad you're not a prick. I'm kidding. Thank you.
No, but I'm not trying to give you a hard time, but I want to be really serious about this. Okay. There are people who go through life thinking that we live in a world of abundance, and there's people who go through life thinking we live in a world of lack. And people who live in a world of lack, they're always like trying to like not give away too much, and they're always trying to get, you know, something for nothing, and they're always trying to like, you know, strike hard bargains with people that you don't need to. But you live in a world of abundance, you know, you can be generous. Sure, I'll give you the Excel spreadsheet. Why wouldn't I give you the Excel spreadsheet? It doesn't cost me anything to give you the Excel spreadsheet. I've already created it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But I want you to think about
which mindset you're in when you're calling your clients. And I want you to, you know, be sure you're in a mindset of abundance when you're calling your clients, because it will come through.
Okay.
So next question is from Dan.
Hey, Arjan. Hey, Stephanie. Hey, everybody. Dan Krause here, and I wanted to ask you, Arjan, we've got some stuff set up for our clients. We haven't accomplished it yet, but we want to do some town hall meetings via Zoom, like what you're doing here with us. I've been enjoying these every day, and I think it's not the same personal one-on-one kind of thing, which maybe we'll try as well. And I do appreciate your sharing the script with us too, but it is another way with this new technology that we can reach out, and I think, you know, at least do something really quickly with all of our clients, just kind of give an update on what we're doing and tell people that we're glad that they're our clients, and keep calm and soldier on, and give them just an opportunity to maybe talk with everybody else about what their mindset might be.
I apologize. Could you just sort of like summarize your question for me?
So the question is, what do you think about the group chats or group interaction with clients rather than or in addition to the one-on-one phone call?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I mean, 100% yes. Doing something like this is a great way. I mean, I'm having a one-on-one conversation with you right now, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm making a personal connection with you. Before this, I was making a personal connection with I can't pronounce her name, but her, the nice lady who asked me about the Excel spreadsheet, right?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to find a lot of people at home all at once.
Yeah, this is a very efficient way of doing that. Absolutely, 100%. It's not one or the other.
Okay. Thanks, Arjan.
You're welcome.
Nick, you're next. Give me just one moment to unmute you. Arjan is switching over his headset, so give me just 1 minute. You're unmuted. You can start asking your question. I can see him, though, trying to fix that. Hi.
Hi, Arjan. Thanks. Just want to thank you for the seminars this week. I've been on all but yesterday. And when you brought this suggestion up on Monday, we immediately implemented and have been getting a great response from our current and former clients from an appreciation standpoint. And we've also followed the call with a letter that one of the attorneys in my office drafted, kind of just a heartfelt, same sentiment, letting them know we're still here, operational, if they need anything at all, even outside of legal advice. I guess my question, maybe stepping into tomorrow.
Nick, sure. I got to challenge you. Okay. We're letting them know that we're here for them for anything, even outside of legal advice. What if you turn that around and you said, we're here for you for everything. And you know what? Most of your legal problems we can solve later.
Yeah, and that's how I've been approaching it on the calls. I've said, look, let us know, is there anything we can do for you at all? I said, maybe we can't help you with this specific issue, but we probably know somebody who can, and we can put you in touch with them.
All right, when I send you the script, you'll see, it's, you can't just say, can we help you with anything at all? Because most people have, unfortunately, somewhat of a limited imagination.
Right.
You know, can we help you with anything at all? I don't know. No, because they think of you as a lawyer. You got to go at them differently and say, listen, how's it going with your job? Are you still working at this place? Yes, I am. How's it going with that job? Oh, I'm having some problems with my employer. Oh, what kind of problems? You understand where I'm going with this?
Absolutely.
But I'm glad that it's working well.
Yeah. So I guess my question is, once we round out calling all current clients, you know, working through former clients and such, I have no doubt that it's doing exactly what you're indicating it is because of the response we're getting in terms of building the goodwill, building upon that reputation that we have for future referral sources and things like that. Any suggestion, and again, I may be stepping into tomorrow's topic a bit, in terms of outside of that or using that almost for any more immediate lead sources in terms of immediate cash flow working through this pandemic?
I'm sorry, they're trying to fix a tech problem I'm having in my office, and someone just walked in my office and spoke over the last couple of things you said. Would you mind repeating that, please? I apologize.
No problem. I was just looking to see if you had any other suggestions in terms of strategies to drive new current leads for current cash flow, understanding what we're doing definitely laying the groundwork for weeks to come.
Yes. So what kind of law do you, well, what I'm saying is if you'll reach out to former clients, you're going to find that they have repeat business and they have referrals.
Sure.
And to the extent that they have referrals to someone other than yourself, you know, they need an accountant, for example, and you refer them to your accountant, that's going to trigger referrals from the accountant.
Sure.
You follow what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely.
So I just don't want anyone to underestimate just how effective that is going to be if you do this faithfully. Don't just jump past that and say, okay, well, but now tell me how to get new leads or tell me how to get new people. That's how you're going to get a lot of new people right there. Shut the fucking door. God damn it. Sorry. Don't underestimate how effective that's going to be. It's going to be very, very effective, probably more effective than you think. Now, after you've exhausted all of that, and you need to, you know, you get through all of your current clients and you get through all your former clients and you get through everyone who came in for a potential, everyone who came in to meet with you but didn't engage your firm, and you get through all of your active referral sources and you get through all of your former referral sources, people who haven't been very active for you in a while, and then you check in with all of your vendors. I mean, you're going to get a whole bunch of new business out of that. You get what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
I mean, you probably have a pretty big list there. It's probably going to take you weeks to get through that whole list. And every time you're making those calls, you're going to be getting new business. Make those headphones connect to this computer.
I just need to sit there and ask the door your phone.
Okay. Then, after you've exhausted all of that, in the meantime, what you can be doing is you could be setting up, like Dan suggested, town halls, sort of like what I'm doing here, where, you know, in having these conversations with your clients and your former clients and your referral sources and everyone else, you're going to find what's on their mind. And when you hear that, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 people in a row all tell you basically they got the same thing on their mind, they have the same fears and concerns, well, then you say, wow, you know what? Obviously, people are interested in this. And then you can put up a very simple landing page. I'll sometimes refer to as a squeeze page. It's basically just a very simple website that it just gives people a way to register, which you can see the one we did for this thing that you signed up for and just copy it.
Right.
Copy all the same elements.
Okay.
And can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And they can sign up for it. And then you
start off with, you know, 30-minute lesson, hour-long lesson, and then open it up for Q&A. You can use Zoom. You can use freeconferencing.com.
Okay.
I would suggest you have something heavy in your hand so that when someone walks into your office, like you're not on a call, you can throw it at them. What I just gave you, Nick, I know it sounds really simple, and people on this call, I'm sure there's lots of people on this call who are going to ignore what I'm saying, and they're going to think, oh, that's too simple, and oh, you know, I want some sort of high-tech solution, or can't I just throw money at a solution instead of actually doing it myself? I'm telling you, you can build and sustain a seven-figure business doing what I just described. I promise you, you can.
All right.
Okay, next, right. Bonnie.
I'm not hearing Bonnie. Hi. Bonnie might have herself on mute.
I'm not on mute. Can you hear me now?
Oh, hi there. Now I hear you.
Hi. Yes, my thing is, I do want to say thanks for the advice. I picked it up at one of the earlier seminars, and I have been making these phone calls. They're going remarkably well. Most of them are short and sweet, but when you, like, I don't want to do these for half an hour. How do I politely hand a phone call?
$250 a month.
Okay. When you start off, you say, do you have 20 minutes?
For the year or for the month?
Okay, so, all right, set the time.
$600 for the month.
Yeah, and I'm not clear. Is this like a regular thing where you're running into it and the person wants to talk and talk and talk and talk? Or is this something you just worry might happen?
I'm really bad at ending phone calls. So this has happened to me while I started making these phone calls, but it's a common recurring theme with me as to I just suck at ending phone calls.
Has anyone ever taught you how to actually sell legal services?
Except
you gotta say, this is how to sell legal services effectively?
Probably not. No.
Okay. The reason why I'm making the connection between the two things is because one of the first things that you learn when you're studying how to be very, very effective at selling any kind of professional services, including legal services, is you gotta set an agenda.
Okay.
And you don't have to set an agenda because you need to find a way to get out of it, or you need to control the conversation and all those, you know, aggressive things that people like to say, big macho things. You set an agenda because you want the other person to be able to relax. The other person is lost, they're confused, they're intimidated, they don't know what's about to happen here. And if you say to them, hey, listen, we've got this appointment scheduled for 20 minutes. Do you have 20 minutes to talk? Okay, fine. Listen, to make the best use of our time, to make the best use of our 20 minutes, may I suggest an agenda? Sure. Suggest an agenda. Okay, I'd like to suggest that first I'd like to ask you some questions about this and this and this and this and this. And then afterwards, if you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer them. Okay. But I want to check in on you.
Okay.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, basically set the tone of the conversation.
Now, you're not going to set a formal agenda like that when mm-hmm. you're making a gas call. That's kind of weird. But you're sort of using that same approach. When you've been formally trained how to sell legal services, making gas calls is a breeze. But until that happens, hopefully it'll happen sooner than later for you.
Thanks.
Hint.
hint taken.
Good. You'll see the script that we're going to send you. And you'll see it's very, very natural. It's very organic. It's very honest. You don't have to pretend like it is anything other than exactly what it is.
Okay.
All right.
Got it. So I will put in a plug. I have gotten very positive results from these, and I do encourage people to do them. You can get through a lot of them fairly quickly.
So, you know, every year, usually by popular demand amongst our members, we will host what we call a gas call workshop. And a gas call workshop, basically what we do is we take about 20 firms and we all get into a conference room, into a ballroom, and everyone sets up a little workstation, and each lawyer brings a member of their staff who's not a lawyer. So they're making calls side by side. And and they do this for 3 days, from 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. We're banging it out 12 hours a day for three solid days.
I got it.
And we have what we call the fuck you prize. And it's $1,000 cash prize to the person who has the best story to tell about the former client that they called who told them to fuck off. You get the idea?
Mm-hmm.
Like the biggest, how dare you call me? I can't believe you had the nerve to call me, you horrible, terrible person. Fuck off. You know, then all the time we've offered that fuck you prize, no one has been able to claim it.
That's good news.
I'm telling you, people are, and it's always the people who you think are going to be the most unhappy to hear from you because you lost their case, you didn't get the results, it's been keeping you up at night for years, and you call them, and inevitably we have members who say those are the people who are actually the most gracious and the most appreciative.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that, because that will give me more courage to make more of these phone calls, especially with the older cases that I haven't touched them in 10, 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You'll come away wishing you'd done this sooner.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Stephanie, next.
Hi, Carlin. You're unmuted.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Carlin. Can you hear me? Stephanie, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Carlin, did you maybe mute yourself? Carlin? Nope, I don't know what happened.
All right. Well, maybe Carlin will raise.
There are no other questions on the queue. If you guys have questions, press *9 if you called in. If you're on Zoom via your phone icon, if you go to all the way to the right tab, you should be able to raise your hand. Or if you're on the computer, there's the participant tab and you can raise your hand also. 407, I'm going to unmute you.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, is it Carlin?
No, this is Linda.
Oh, hi, Linda.
A couple of questions, real quick. Two callers ago, one of the gentlemen asked you, and I don't think you heard it because you were going from room to room. He was asking you about a quick way to get some cash infusion into a practice. And I have a similar question because I'm a solo practitioner with no staff. So with everything that's going on, that means that I will not be eligible for some of the stimulus packages because I don't have multiple employees. So do you have any suggestions for the group as a whole on cash infusion in this bizarre time? Most of my work comes through contingency fees, so I don't have cash coming in until a case is done.
Okay. Well, you want me to answer for the group as a whole? Or you want me to just answer for you?
Well, you can answer for me, but I think for the group as a whole, there's probably, with as many people around the call, there's probably as many people that may have a similar question.
Do you know anyone else on the call?
No, I do not. So we'll work it for me. How about that? Thank you.
I was going to say, so respectfully, why do you give a shit about them? Let's solve your problem.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. They're perfectly capable of raising their own hands if they got a question for themselves. If they don't want to get helped, then let's not waste your time, me helping them. Let's just help you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So you said you have a contingency firm.
Right. Most of my work is personal injury. I do have some hourly work, and that gets paid as the carriers pay. But on the contingency work, that's limited to when we end up our cases, settlements or verdicts. So looking for innovative ways to generate some cash flow right now when people are very hesitant to spend any money, and knowing that I will not qualify for any of the stimulus packages.
Yeah. Forget about the stimulus packages.
Right.
I got to ask you a couple of questions because I want to make sure you're asking me the right strategic question right now, because I'm a little bit concerned that you're not asking the right question.
That may very well be, and I'm looking for the guidance and to making my appointment for next week with one of your people, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
Even better. All right.
Yep.
What is your monthly burn rate? What does it cost to keep your firm alive, including your salary?
Don't pay myself a salary, take care of all of the business expenses, and when I can, I take a stipend.
Okay. First of all, you must change that.
I know.
You're saying you know, but the way you say it makes me think you'd not really know it.
I just try to figure out how to do it. Well, because
how
I need to have
it. You just pay yourself a salary. That's how you do it.
Okay.
So I don't care if the firm pays you $3,000 a month. I don't care if the firm pays you $2,000 a month. I don't care if the firm pays you $10,000 a month. There must be a regular recurring salary obligation that the firm has to live up to you for the work you do for the firm.
Okay.
Do you know how to do that tomorrow?
I can do that tomorrow when I go to the bank. Yes.
I'm going to make you a promise. All right.
Yep.
I'm going to make you a promise right here, right now. It's being recorded. We got lots of witnesses. You ready?
Yes.
Just doing that will make your firm more profitable.
Okay.
It really will. You see, not paying you a salary, it's unhealthy for the business. It is unhealthy for the business not to have salary obligations for valuable work done for it. Imagine the business was a person. It would be like the person, you know, going through life, spitting in people's faces, and everyone says, thank you. And then one day, the kid grows up and goes to high school and spits in someone's face and is expecting someone to say thank you, but instead the kid gets punched in the face.
Right.
Right? Your law firm, you're babying your law firm like it's your baby, and it's not your baby. Your law firm is supposed to be your mule. It's supposed to be there to work for you. The fact that you're allowing the business to not pay you, what it means is it allows you to not require the business to make tough choices. And it lets you off the hook as manager from making tough choices that are needed for the business to pay you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, like, I have to make a lot of tough choices because I've got 50 people who need to get paid. But this all started when I made the decision that I'm going to get paid. That's number one. So how much does it cost for you to maintain your household, your household every month?
Probably about $2,000 or $3,000.
That's after tax or before?
That's probably before tax.
So it only costs you $2,000 a month after taxes, only $500 a week? You share a household with someone else who's subsidizing the household?
Yes.
Okay. So $3,000 a month for you. And what about for the firm?
Well,
I own my business outright, so I have no mortgage for my firm office. That's one of the reasons that it's probably down as low as it is.
Wait a second. You mean that some nice stranger is giving your business free rent?
Well, that would be me. I own the
No. See, this is all kinds of screwed up, Linda. I'm telling you, you got it. You're running your business like a hobby. You're running your law firm like a hobby, not a business. As long as you baby it, as long as you coddle it, as long as you run it like a hobby, it's never going to step up and be a business.
Okay.
Would you give anyone else free office space in the building you own?
Absolutely not.
Of course not. Well, why would you give free rent to your law firm?
Okay.
That's like the parent who doesn't tell the kid what it costs to live. And then the kid goes out, you know, goes off, grows up, leaves the house, and like is completely unprepared for what it costs to live in the world. You follow what I'm saying here?
I do.
Okay. So how much would you rent your office to me for? You wouldn't rent it to me for free. What would you charge me?
Probably $1,500 to $2,000 a month. It's a small space, but probably that much.
Fine. So $1,500 a month for the rent. And what other expenses does your business have?
Utilities, taxes, supplies. I don't have a marketing budget now, which is again one of the reasons that I will be having my appointment with you guys next week, because I need to set up some marketing.
Before we even get to a marketing budget, let's just talk about the overhead.
Right.
You got $1,500 for rent. Let's say $250 for utilities. Let's say $500 for supplies. And dues and insurance and everything else. I'm just going to call it, for argument's sake, let's call it $3,000 a month.
Okay.
All right. Just for purposes of just very, very rough spitballing, we'll call that $3,000 a month for the firm. And then another $3,000 a month, because would you work for me for free?
No.
Would you work for any of these other people on the call for free? And I'm going to remind you, These are the people who you said, Arjun, please help these people solve their problems and not mine.
Oh, I didn't say not mine. I thought others might have a similar question, but they may or may not, and I don't really care whether they learn from my questions. There you go.
And they don't care if you learn from theirs either, because they're looking out for themselves, and that's okay. Mutual self-interest. Mutually beneficial aligned self-interest. That's a beautiful thing. It really is. Okay. So you would require at least $3,000 a month to come work for me 40 hours a week.
Yes.
All right. So that means the firm has to grow $6,000 a month at least.
Okay.
How much do you have in your operating account right now?
Probably 20,000.
Okay. Well, then why are we worrying about how to generate cash today? Wouldn't it be better? Why are we worrying about how to generate a dollar today? Wouldn't it be better to invest this time to generate thousands of dollars tomorrow?
It would. The only thing is that I have expert fees that I have to pay next week, which is going to dramatically reduce that amount of money that's there from some of my contingency cases. So I've got $15,000 in expert fees that have to go out next week. So that drops that way down.
Okay, that's fair. So you really don't have – so if I asked you the same question tomorrow, you wouldn't have $20,000. You really only have $5,000 in the operating account that's not already spoken for.
Right, unless I get in some of the settlements that I'm waiting on, which have not come, so I'm not counting on them until they're there.
Okay, that's fair. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't – see, there's a lot of people right now who are so panicked by what's going on that they're like, I got to bring in cash today. I got to bring in cash today. And then you stop and you're like, wait a second, how much do you have in the operating account? And they're like, they've got like 3 and 4 months of operating expenses sitting in the operating account. And it's like, well, then let's not focus on today. Let's focus on where we want to be a year from now and start doing things today to get us to there and not necessarily have to do short-term expedient things like get cash today. You follow where I'm coming
right.
from?
I do.
But that's not you because you need $6,000 a month and you only have $5,000.
Okay.
Well, there's really only two places to go. One is you either have to beat the bushes on the insurance companies to get them to settle faster, which we've talked about at length in a previous call. I'm happy to talk more about that. Or you got to do some hourly work.
Right. And I do have some of that. Just right now, I don't have any this month. I will.
What kind of hourly work do you do?
I do commercial for folks that need that. And that works very nicely. And I'm at $4.25 an hour for that. So
commercial what? Commercial what?
Helping them with contracts, doing work that they need internally within their companies, helping with some of their manuals and customer and client documents, things like that. And I also
right.
do some contract work hourly for people who don't do federal work because I do that. So I can help them as well on an hourly basis. And I do that.
So look, we only need $6,000.
Right.
$6,000 divided by $300 is only 20 hours a month.
Okay.
Divided by 4, it's only 5 hours a week. You only need 5 hours a week at $300 an hour to cover your nut.
Okay.
So call every firm that you've ever done any contract work for. Call every client you've ever done any hourly work for and find out what their plans are for after this pandemic is over. Where do you
okay.
expect your business to be when this pandemic is over? Okay, well, listen, as it happens right now, the insurance companies are all closed, so I'm not getting any settlements. So I've got some extra time, and so I'm actually available to take on some hourly work to help people work on things today so that their business is in a better place for when that pandemic finally gets resolved.
Okay, that's a good direction.
Hustle, market, sell.
Yes, I guess it would.
Okay. But
yes.
You got to decide, and I mean this sincerely, you got to decide if you really want to have a business or not. Because it sounds like you really have a hobby. And I'm not criticizing. It just sounds like that's what's going on. And you have to decide if you want to turn it into a business or not. And if you do,
right.
I'm happy to help you. And if you don't, that's okay. I'm still happy to help you. But if you don't want to turn it into a business, then, you know, you don't need to schedule an appointment to speak to someone on my team because we're all about helping you turn this into a business. And that means running it with a budget, running it with cash projections, putting yourself on a salary, the business paying rent, covering its own expenses, paying you rent because you're an investor who owns a building or owns an office space and the business needs to pay its rent. And, you know, we're going to insist on putting things like that into place. And it's going to be uncomfortable in the beginning because it's all going to be fresh and new and different.
Okay. And it's something that I just have to learn because some of those things I haven't done before. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is all stuff you can learn. Listen,
okay.
if you're telling me that you're smart enough and capable enough and experienced enough and experienced enough to warrant $400 or $425 an hour, you can definitely figure this stuff out. This is not rocket science.
Okay.
We teach this
Fair
stuff
enough.
To teenagers in the Kids Entrepreneur Program.
Okay.
Oh, you laugh. You laugh.
Oh, I'm not laughing. That's
not our last live quarterly meeting, but the one before that, we taught the kids how to figure out the cost of goods sold in a business. And then we had them get up on stage and teach all their parents.
That was fun.
Cool. I imagine it was.
Yeah, for everyone who's on the call who doesn't know what cost of goods sold means or what the cost is for delivering the services that your firm sells so you understand what your gross profits are, there's a bunch of teenagers who have gone through our Kids Entrepreneur Program who can tell you, you can learn this too.
Fair enough.
Anyway, Linda, do you know what to do now?
I do, and I'm going to take some steps.
Good.
Bank tomorrow. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. Stephanie?
Alicia, I'm going to unmute you.
Hi, Arjun. I'm just wanting to know whether I should reduce my marketing budget right now.
No.
Okay. And my other question is, can you talk
to
me?
Do you want to know why?
Because I need to have marketing out there.
So listen, it's the currency of the day is attention. I mean, that attention is the most valuable thing you can get right now. And I don't mean right now because of the pandemic. I just mean nowadays. We got cell phones, we got iPads, we got computers, we got screens, we got devices, we got distractions. Everyone's attention is going 100 different places. Attention is the currency of the day. You agree?
Yes.
Okay. And right now, the majority of lawyers, and I'm talking, I mean, all day long, I'm on the phone with our members, lawyers from all over the country, all different practice areas, all different walks of life. And one of the common themes that we're getting over and over and over again, because they're talking to their vendors also, is lawyers all over the country are slashing their advertising budget to try and save money. You know what the pay-per-click people are finding is that people are still searching for the same search terms the same way they were doing before. And many of the search terms are actually getting more attention than before because people are stuck at home.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, pay-per-click prices, the pay-per-click prices are dropping.
Ah.
Because everyone's pulling out of pay-per-click because everyone's trying to save money.
Okay. Good deal.
Whatever marketing budget, and this is what we're telling all of our members, and this is what I promise you, Stephanie, you can attest. This is what we're doing here at How to Manage also. Every year, in the last quarter of the year, we develop our projected budget for the following year. Revenue by department, revenue by practice, revenue by department, revenue by different types of work we do. And we come up with our projected budgets. And Stephanie is the person who manages the budget for the marketing department. And Stephanie, what did we do with that budget that you and the team invested weeks and weeks working on at the end of last year? What did we do with your marketing budget as soon as the pandemic struck?
We threw it out the window.
We threw it out the window, Alicia. It just became instantly irrelevant. Because the name of the game right now is building your audience. Okay. What kind of work do you do? What kind of work
does your firm do? Family law practitioner.
Family law. Man, so what do you normally charge for an engagement? What do you normally charge for a case?
Typically anywhere between $3,500 to $5,000.
Fine. So if you dropped it to $500 to engage my firm, are there people who might not otherwise engage your firm who probably would?
I don't know that $500 would make a difference.
Why not? So what you're saying is you're not getting price objections.
A few, but not that's not the major objection that I'm getting right now.
Okay. By the way, if you're telling me you're not getting price objections, then I'm telling you right now you need to raise your prices.
Okay.
You know why you should raise your prices?
Why?
Because you'll help a lot more people and you'll have happier clients.
Okay.
You see, people don't want to pay less. What they want is to get more.
Okay.
Think about it. Isn't that how you make all of your consumer decisions?
Yes, based on what value I'm going to receive.
Right. So, like, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Vanilla and cherry.
Vanilla and cherry. Okay, what's the most you would ever pay for a scoop of vanilla and cherry ice cream?
Probably about $5.
The most you would ever pay, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, what if you were out for like a romantic dinner and you were at your favorite restaurant and the mood was just right, and on the menu after a fantastic dinner was a scoop of vanilla cherry ice cream? What's the most you'd pay for in that setting?
15.
15. And then the chef comes out to say, how was your dinner? Oh, it's your anniversary. Congratulations. I want to recommend my homemade vanilla cherry ice cream. This ice cream is a family recipe that my grandmother created and had to smuggle it out of the old country into this country. And when she came to this country, she had no money. And the only way she could feed her family was by making this vanilla cherry ice cream with her secret ingredients.
You just got me at 20.
Now I'm at 20. I mean, I could get you to $100 for this ice cream pretty soon, right? See, people want more. We crave more. The world is full of people trying to give us less and charge us less, but what we crave is more. So think about all the things that you can't do for me for a $3,500 retainer that you could do for me for a $5,500 retainer.
A lot more.
Now, you think I'm going to be happier because you charged me $3,500 and didn't do more? Or you think I'm going to be ultimately happier and give you more referrals and be more cooperative and be a better client if I come up with the $5,000 and you do more for me?
You'll be happier if you came up with the $5,000.
And you're telling me no one's objecting to the price. I'm telling you, I think you're not giving them enough value then. You're not offering up enough value.
Okay.
Dial up the value, charge an appropriate amount for the more value. And if you raised your price from $3,000 to $5,000, and I know that we're not saying exactly flat fees because you do hourly and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just conceptually, right?
Right.
You raise your price conceptually from $3,000 to $5,000, and you went from delivering $15,000 worth of value to $25,000 worth of value, people will be happier, right?
Yes.
So what are some of the things you could do with an extra $2,000 to give me a lot more than just $2,000 worth of values? Let me tell you this just so everyone understands where I'm coming from. Everything that we do in How to Manage a Small Law Firm comes with 100% money back guarantee. And everything we do, we guarantee you, you're getting at least 3 to 5 times return on your investment. So if you invest $1 with us, you're going to get at least $3 to $5 back. Sometimes you get that $3 to $5 back in terms of actual dollars. Sometimes you get that $3 to $5 back in terms of more peace of mind. Sometimes you get that $3 to $5 back in terms of less stress. Sometimes you get that $3 to $5 back in terms of cleaning up messes and problems from the past, but you're always getting at least $3 to $5 of value back for every dollar you give us. So if every time you give me $1, I give you back $3, what do you want to do the next day?
Pay more.
You want to give me $2 and now I give you back $6. And then you say, can I give you $3? And I give you back $9. And then you give me $4 and I give you back $12. And pretty soon you're like, listen, can we stop screwing around? Can I just give you $100 already and give me back $300? Sure. Can I just give you $1,000 and give me back $3,000? All right. See, people
are so tired of the society we live in, where everyone's trying to race to the bottom. Let me be the cheapest. Don't be the cheapest. There's only one person who ever wins that race, and that person ends up broke.
Okay. I call myself setting the rates at the market, and so you're saying that doesn't work that well.
Well, you tell me. How well is it working for you?
Well, it's all right. I could use more.
What I'm saying is that the market is full of lawyers who don't even know their cost of goods sold. It's the blind leading the blind. Go ask 1,000 lawyers, do you have a written business plan? And you know 999 of them are gonna say no, if they're being honest. Go ask 1,000 lawyers, do you know what it actually costs to deliver the services you sell? 999, if they're being honest with you, are gonna tell you no. And these are the people who you're letting them choose your prices and determine okay. How much value you could possibly deliver to your clients, because you can't deliver a gallon of value if you're only serving it up in a quart.
Okay. So I'll look at my price sheet.
I want you to understand, I understand we're talking about your retainer. And I know that we're not talking about it. It's the concept that I'm trying to get across to everyone. If you start off with the premise that you're always going to give people at least a 3 to 5 times return on their investment with you, then you start to realize that charging less doesn't do anyone any favors.
True.
Least of all you and your team. But anyway, I went way afield and you had a different question, and I'm sorry, what was your question? Did I answer it?
You answered my question. My second follow-up question was that I am risk averse, and I would like to join your services, but I have had bad experiences with consultants, and so I always felt like I'm paying money and I'm doing all the work. Can you help me kind of flesh that out?
I could go in so many different directions with the answer to that question. Do you have something more specific that you want me to help you with?
Yes, okay. I'm trying to make some decisions at this particular time, whether I buy a building, whether I invest in a contract attorney, or I invest in your program.
Why do you keep using the word or between each of those when they're all connected with hands? The contract attorney is going to pay. Having your firm professionally managed is going to pay for itself and help you hire the contract attorney. The contract attorney, if properly managed, is going to pay for the building.
Uh-huh.
Well, why else do you hire a contract attorney?
To help with the work. Okay.
Okay. How much are you planning to pay the contract attorney?
Right now, about if I can squeeze it, about from here, from half, about $25,000 for the rest of the year, but they won't be full time.
I want you to understand how kind of inside out, backwards, you're thinking about this whole thing.
Okay.
And it's not your fault. Most lawyers think about this the same wrong way, which is why most lawyers struggle with this the whole time. Okay? It's like you're stuck in this box, and the directions to get out of the box are very simple. They're very simple, and they're very straightforward. The problem is the instructions to get out of the box, they're printed on the outside of the box, and you're stuck inside.
Okay.
So what I'm telling you is from the perspective of you're smart, I'm smart. You're know a lot more about family law than I do, I'm sure of it. Because when I practiced law, I didn't practice family law. And what I know is simply different from what you know. Not mm-hmm. from a I'm smart and you're dumb standpoint. Mm-hmm. I just know about this and you don't. Okay? So I say that because I'm going to walk you through a little bit of logic. And at some point, you're going to, I think, I don't want you to feel embarrassed as the dots begin to line up for you. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So you want to pay the contract attorney, let's say $50,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
You want to pay an attorney $50,000 a year to work for you, right?
Right.
Okay. So that's going to be $65,000 by the time you're done with Social Security, unemployment benefits, and all that other kind of stuff. All right?
Okay.
So $65,000. And how many productive hours per week or per month do you think you can get out of that person?
At least 20.
At least 20. How many weeks per year do you expect that person to give you 20 productive hours that you can sell to your clients?
50 weeks.
No way.
No.
Are they going to work on Christmas, Thanksgiving, and New Year's?
Well, that's why I said 50 weeks.
Are they going to take a vacation? Oh. Are they ever going to get sick?
Okay.
You're talking 46 weeks if you're working full time. All right. Okay. So 46 weeks. Doing the math here with me?
Yes.
Times 20 hours a week is going to be 46 weeks times $20 an hour. I mean, I'm sorry, times 20 hours a week. It's 920 hours a year.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yes. And what are you going to bill that person at?
At least 250.
250 an hour. So 920 times 250, you're going to generate $230,000 in revenue for you. And you're going to pay them $65,000, $230,000 minus $65,000, you're going to generate $165,000 of gross profit. Now, I ask you again, why are you hiring this person? The whole reason you're hiring this person is to make a profit for your business.
Uh-huh.
Now, you take that $165,000. First of all, let me tell you another thing. Well, I'll keep going with this. You take the $165,000 divided by 12 months, and that's $13,000 a month of profit. Now, what are you going to do with this building you buy? Leave it empty?
No, I was planning on having some renters.
Okay. Are you going to rent it to them for less than it costs to service the mortgage and to carry the building?
No.
No, you're going to rent the building out at a profit.
Yes.
So it doesn't cost you the monthly nut on the building. The tenant pays the monthly nut on the building. You just need to come up with a down payment, get the thing ready, and maybe have, you know, a couple months of mortgage payments in reserve in case you have a vacancy.
Exactly.
After that, the building pays for itself. Otherwise, don't buy the building.
Okay.
Your $50,000 employee, they're either generating a profit for you after the first month or two, or else don't have the employee.
Okay.
So how much does it cost to hire the $50,000 employee?
When I hired my quote unquote dragon, it didn't cost me that much. It cost me about maybe $500.
Because?
I was buying ads to hire them.
No, but how much did it cost you to hire that person? How much does it cost to employ that $50,000 person?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. 65?
Not really. How do you figure that?
Because we went back to the, I went back to the number of the 65K that I would have to pay them.
Well, $50,000 salary times 1.20 for benefits is 60, is in fact $60,000. Throw in another 5,000 at $65,000.
Okay.
But how much does it cost to employ that $65,000 employee? How much do you really need to employ that $60,000, the 50,000 plus benefits? It's $65,000 divided by 12 months is $5,416 a month.
Okay.
How many months does this person need to sit on their ass and be unproductive before you throw them out?
Not long.
Okay. So if the person is costing you $65,000, you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And we're expecting to get 920 billable productive hours out of them per year.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, that number is extremely, extremely low. Most firms are expecting at least 1,300 to 1,400 hours a year, and the big firms much more than that. But let's go with 920 because you're going to have a very relaxed work environment, not a whole lot of demands.
Right.
This person is going to cost you $70 an hour. $70 an hour times $920 an hour, I'm sorry, times 920 hours is $65,000.
Okay. Get me?
Mm-hmm. $70 an hour times 920 hours is $65,000. $65,000 divided by 46 weeks divided by 20 hours is 920 hours. The math works both ways. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to bill this person out. You said at least $250 an hour. So every hour that you sell, you generate $250, and it costs you $70. So you make $180 profit per hour on this person.
Right.
So let's say in the first week, they don't do a single productive thing because you just invest the first week in nothing but training. And let's say the second week, they don't generate a single productive billable hour because the second week is nothing but training. Because you want to set yourself up for long-term success. So you build a solid foundation and you invest the first 2 weeks of just training. 14 days of nothing but training. If a person gets through 14 hours of nothing but training, how productive should that person be at the end of 2 weeks of you training them for 2 weeks?
They should be very productive.
Okay. So now in the third week, let's say they only generate 10 hours. And the fourth week, they only generate 15 hours. And it's not until the fifth week that they're on track to do 20 productive hours. You with me?
Yes.
So 10 times 180, they give you back $1,800. So the $1,800 of gross profit, I'm sorry, is $2,500 in the first week. 250 times 15 is $3,750 in the fourth week. And 20 times 250 is $5,000 in the fifth week. So by the end of the fifth week, you've now trained them for two solid weeks. In the third week, they only produce 10 hours. In the fourth week, they only produce 15 hours. In the fifth week, they finally up to speed and they're doing 20 hours. And you've collected a total of 5,000 plus 3,750 plus 2,500. You've collected a total of $11,250 in 5 weeks. And it costs you $65,000 divided by 52 weeks. And it costs you $1,250 a week. Times five, it costs you $6,250 and you collected $11,000 on them. You made a profit in the 5 weeks. You broke even on them basically in your fourth week.
Mm-hmm.
So again, why are you hiring this person?
To make money.
To make a profit.
Okay. Okay.
Now we can have all kinds of conversations about whether you'd be better off hiring a $75,000 person instead of a $50,000 person, because a $75,000 person doesn't cost you that much more.
but that person is going to be a lot more self-sufficient, a lot more independent, require a lot less of your time. You see where I'm coming from?
Yes. Yes.
See, a lot of lawyers make the mistake of hiring an assistant when what they should be doing is hiring a replacement.
Ah. Because
if you could hire someone to replace you, and you took all the time you spend practicing law right now, or let's just say you take 75% of the time you spend practicing law right now, because you keep practicing law 25% of the time because you like it. But if you could take 75% of your time and put 50% of it, and put 50 of it into marketing and managing the business, what do you think would happen to the business?
It grows.
Pretty significantly, right?
Yes.
So if you took 75 units of time, you put 50 of them, you reinvest 50 of them into marketing and managing and running it like a real business, the business runs better. You're making more profit because you hired a grown-up and you trained the person properly. And those extra 25 units of time and energy are yours to have a better life.
Okay.
So now you're making more money, you're working less, your business is running better. This is what we do. There's no rocket science to it. It's just basic law firm management applied.
Wow. And so I was looking at when should I hire them, and I said based on my caseload, and I just kind of got to my maximum caseload. So I need to look at that a different way.
Well, I think you're going to see it differently when you answer the question, why are you hiring the person? And you're clear, I'm hiring this person to make a profit, and I'm hiring this person to take things off of my plate.
Yes.
I think the way you were thinking about it 10 minutes ago is, I'm hiring this person to help me do my job.
Correct.
You don't need to hire an assistant. You need to hire a replacement. The whole equation changes. Life becomes so much better. You'll understand why we've got 400 raving fan, crazy, happy lawyers making lots of money and having great lives, because this is how we teach them how to run their business. And we step in and we function as the CEO of their law firm for them to make sure it keeps getting run this way.
Okay.
Now, you said you're risk averse.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. What's it cost to have the conversation with someone from my team?
Nothing.
What's it cost to get to the discovery day?
Nothing.
Nothing. You get to the end of the discovery day, you're going to have an entire day, or half a day, I should say, where our whole program gets laid out for you. And we show you exactly what we do. We show you exactly how we do it. We show you exactly the logic of how and why it should work. It's going to make as much sense to you. It's a lot of things that are just as simple as what I just showed you today. It's just a half a day of this stuff going into more detail, and you'll understand it all. And you're going to get to meet dozens of members of my team, people who have been professional legal administrators, run very successful law firms, full-time now on my team, MBAs, CPAs, all kinds of very sophisticated people, down to earth, easygoing. You'll talk to them, you'll feel very comfortable with them. You'll meet like a couple of hundred of our members and their husbands and their wives and their kids. And you can like talk to them during the coffee breaks, and you can talk to them during the reception, and you can just kind of get to know them and say, is this real? Are you a paid actor? And well, as insane as this is, we will have people who will come and say, I think these are all fake. It's like, really? You think I went out and hired 400 actors just so I could scam you into signing a contract? Are you insane? I mean, just do the math there. It wouldn't make any sense for me. And then after you've met all these people, and after you've been through a half day, so you're going to talk to someone from my team, you're going to sign up to come to the discovery day,
you're going to get a whole bunch of materials and programs and resources that are going to help you. Then you're going to get to the discovery day. The whole program gets laid out to you for half a day in detail of how it works, why it works, and all that kind of stuff. Along the way, you're going to meet dozens of members of my team. Along the way, you're going to meet hundreds of our members and their spouses and significant others, and you're going to see their kids too, probably, because we run the kids club. So there's kids running all over the place. And then that's when we're going to say, now it's time to make a decision. I don't think you've probably done that much due diligence on anything you've ever bought in your entire life.
Well, actually, I did come to a discovery day about 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and it was really nice, but I wasn't ready for the program.
All right.
Well, and y'all saw that I was not ready.
Oh, so we said you're not ready?
Yeah.
I am so glad you said that, because I tell people all the time that from time to time we'll get someone who comes through the discovery day, and for whatever reason, we tell them you're not ready yet, and people think that I'm not telling the truth, but that really happens. And you're one of these people, right?
Yes.
And we weren't, I mean, I don't think we were rude. We weren't mean. We didn't say you're stupid. We just say we don't think you're ready yet.
You were right. You were right. I was.
Are you ready now?
I believe so.
All right. Well,
and my husband loved the program. We just,
you were ready. Know and there's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't know how I was going to make the payments. That was the biggest thing. But now I'm a little more fluid in my practice. So
I got something to make this even better for you. You ready for this?
Yes.
We actually now offer a virtual 4-week boot camp. If you go to howtomanageasmalllawfirm.com/bootcamp, we actually do sort of like a 4-week mini crash course where we walk you through this stuff every week for 4 weeks on how to put together a marketing plan, how to do sales, how to put together some basic processes and procedures, how to do a basic budget, really kind of like a very, very basic business plan. And then at the end of that 4-week training, which is all virtual, then you come to a 2-day complimentary boot camp, 2-day live boot camp, where we 2 days of just more intense attention, and then you can decide if you want to engage our services to continue.
Okay.
And the boot camp comes with 100% money back guarantee too. So anyone who's on the call, and we still have like 100 people on the call, if you're even remotely serious about having a successful law firm, and I mean this sincerely, if you don't have a written business plan, you're going to have problems. Flip it around. As good as your business has gotten without a written business plan, it should be really obvious to you that with a written business plan, it's got to work better. And however good your business is doing, however profitable it is, however many people you're helping, which is great, and I hope you're helping a lot of people and making a lot of money, with a marketing plan that's got a budget, it's going to have to work better. With a sales plan, it's going to have to work better. With documented processes and procedures, it's got to work better. With a CEO to hold you accountable and walk you through it and check in with you every week to make sure that everything's happening, supposed to be happening, it's got to work better. And so if you're really serious about having a more successful business, a law firm that makes more profit for you, cash flow is more predictable for you, you have less stress, you have more control, you have more clarity about what's really going on, you find a better way to do things, you start doing things the right way so that people who trust, who depend on you and depend on your business have cause to depend on you and depend on your business. You find ways to streamline and simplify things to make your life easier, be more efficient. If any of this is resonating with you, you've been on the call with me now for 4 days. I I can't just put up a big fake act for 4 days. You've heard me at my best. You've heard me, maybe not exactly at my worst. I probably get worse, but you, I mean, this is it. This is transparent. This is what it is to work with us. And I'm offering you a 4-week virtual bootcamp that you can do while you're in lockdown to start making your law firm work better. And it comes with 100% money back guarantee. If you aren't going to sign up for the bootcamp or schedule an appointment to speak with someone from my team, I would appreciate personally an email to just let me know privately what's going on, because I feel like something is happening here and I'm either really utterly failing to communicate or something's happening here. And I'll just tell you my email address. It's no big mystery. It's rjon@howtomanage.com. rjon@howtomanage.com. So either I want to see you sign up for the bootcamp, howtomanageasmalllawfirm.com/bootcamp. Or I want to see you schedule an appointment to speak with someone from my team about coming to the Discovery Day. You do that at howtomanage.com/appointment. Or I want you to send me an email, rjon@howtomanage, and really let's talk about what's going on, because it just seems like something's got to be really, really off, and I want to help you, or at the very least, tell me. And if the answer is you just don't like me personally, that's fine. It's not going to hurt my feelings, but I would really appreciate the feedback, sincerely.
No, I'm basically already wrote down the boot camp. I think that's going to work real well in this particular environment.
I think so too. All right, Alicia, thank you for that. Stephanie, do we have anyone else with questions? And Alicia, I apologize. I don't remember your name your last name seems familiar to me, but I'm not going to pretend like I remember you from 5 years ago because I don't.
Sorry, I had muted her. Hang on.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay, I'm sorry. Me and my husband came about 5 years ago to Florida. We had a nice time. I was just a nervous Betsy and very negative at that time, and y'all were like, no, you're not ready.
Well, I hope we can help you this time.
Yes.
It seems like you've made a lot of progress since then.
I have, and I kept following you.
Good for you. All right. Stephanie, if we have anyone else, I'd be happy to take one more question, maybe two, but then I got to go.
Yeah, there's one more call. You didn't say one thing that I was just hoping you'd say. The bootcamp actually comes with a 110% money back guarantee if you let us know you're not getting value before week 3. So
you get to try week 1, get all the materials,
yep.
Download all of the materials, trial materials, do week 1, do week 2. And if by the end of week 3, you think you're not getting tons of value, you let us know and we'll give you a refund.
Before week 3, but before the week 3 call, because after that, you've done the whole thing, right? But yes, you first 2 calls, everything, and you get 110% money back guarantee.
Oh, yeah. So not only will we give you all the money back, we'll even give you 10% more on top of that. So seems to me like listen, Stephanie, they either have the desire or they don't. At this point, we can't really make them want it.
Yep. I just wanted to
the internal drive.
Make it clear. So one more call. Colleen, I'm going to go ahead. You know, actually, Arjun, there was someone that earlier had a question. What 3 suggestions would
you? Well, you can't just say Colleen and then tell it to someone else. So we'll do this one and Colleen.
Okay.
So we'll wrap it up.
I just remembered this one was first before anybody else in the queue. What 3 suggestions would you give me when creating a niche specific attorney referral program to add more referring attorneys to refer wage and hour cases before the surge?
Is that something like I can read if I scroll up? Because I was having a hard time following that.
Yeah, I'm going to put it back. I'll put it to the most recent one. Oh, not that. This was Carlin, whose microphone wasn't working.
So are you putting it back or?
It's not letting me copy it.
I'm just going to scroll up and find it.
Yes, from Carlin, what three suggestions would you give me when creating a niche?
There you go. I found it. What three suggestions would you give me when creating a niche? A niche specific attorney referral program to add more referring attorneys to refer wage and hour cases. It seems like Carlin has a wage and hour firm and she's looking for a way to get attorneys to refer business to her. Is that how you're understanding that?
I think so. Stephanie? Carlin, if your microphone works at all, I muted you again, but I think so.
Okay, so I think that this is a lawyer's way of just saying, how do I get more lawyers to refer business to me? You know, we lawyers, we have to use as many complicated words as we can. How do I get more lawyers to refer to me? I think we've been talking about it the whole time. You got to take an active interest in what's going on with their business. You got to call them and find out what kind of clients they want. And you got to find out what's going on with their law firm and what are their hopes and what are their dreams and what are their plans? Where do they want their business to be a year from now? And what's an ideal kind of client for you? And the good news is because you're calling attorney to attorney, you don't need to worry about bar rules because there's no bar rules about against attorneys picking up the phone calling other attorneys. And you pick up the phone, you call and you say, or write them a letter, snail mail preferably, not email. Or you call them on the phone and you say, I'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with you to learn more about your practice and learn more about the kinds of clients that you'd like to get referred to you and talk about how we might be able to increase referrals back and forth between our two law firms. And most people, I think, are going to be pretty receptive to a person calling and saying, I'd like to learn about how to refer more business to you. And then you take a very active, sincere interest in their firm. You know, what are your plans for the next year? What's working? What's not working for you? What kind of clients do you want? What kind of clients do you not want? How would I recognize if the person I'm talking to is the kind of client you want? What kind of clients should I not waste your time with that I should protect you from? How many clients would you really like to have? Yeah, I don't want to send you too many. Okay, so where is the first step in the pipeline where's the first step in your sales system, in your marketing system that I should send people to? You want me to just give them your cell phone and say, call this person 24/7? I don't think so. Do you have any kind of a free report or something that I can share with them to get them introduced to you? When I have someone that I want to refer to you, is there a special phone number that I can call or someone at your office I can speak to so that I can make a proper introduction? And when I introduce the person, you know, I'll have already figured out all about what their needs are and what they're looking for. And I think that if you were to establish those kinds of relationships with enough different attorneys, you'd find yourself getting a whole lot of referrals back. Assuming, of course, you are sincere and making efforts to refer business to them. Even if you're not in a position to refer a lot of business to them, just the fact that you're making efforts, and every time you make an effort, I mean, I've gotten thank you notes from people I get thank you notes from people when I send them a note in the mail and I say, hey, listen, I was on an airplane and I was talking to someone and I tried to refer them to you. I told them all about you. Unfortunately, they said that they, you know, didn't want the referral, but I just want to let you know that I was up in the air flying to California and I was out there trying to make referrals to you. People, just let people know you're out there even trying. I think that's the best answer I can give without a back and forth conversation. Matt is saying, can't talk, sleeping baby on my chest. Oh, I love when my baby sleeps on me. But could you comment as to boot camp's applicability to a brand new law firm? Yeah, you get the opportunity to not screw things up. You get the opportunity to build it the right way the first time. Everyone else has to get through the boot camp and be like, oh man, I should have done this differently. And I wish I had known this then. And, you know, if only I had woulda, coulda, shoulda. You get to not do that. Listen, we can build a law firm from nothing to $250,000 in gross revenue pretty consistently in about 18 months. That's all it takes. The reason it takes longer is because people have to undo so many of the mistakes they built in the first place when they didn't know better. So boot camp for a brand new law firm, yeah. Good thing to do. Give you a huge advantage. Or you could just go out, screw everything up for a few years, and then come back and then we'll help you fix it. Don't do that. Stephanie, last question, then I'm done.
Yes, Colleen, I'm unmuting you.
Hi, my name is Colleen Peffers. I practice in Ontario, half and half corporate commercial and estate planning and admin, and the litigation that is now starting to fall out of that. Before becoming a lawyer 8 years ago, I am also a CPA. So it's shocking to me that I've failed somewhat at running my firm. It's kind of disappointing, really. Wow. Well, because I used to be you when I managed 13 branches across Canada and into the US. And I guess because I'm too close to the subject matter, I haven't been a good CEO, CFO in my own firm. But talking to you.
You however have not heard my story about not practicing what I preached. And so when my wife got sick, everything fell apart.
Right. So, and that's why I took this opportunity for the last, I don't even know what day it is because I've been locked in my house since last Sunday. That's why I took this opportunity at the end of the workday here to listen to you and everybody else and their comments. But I wanted to just say that when you talked about new causes of action and creating new law, my firm is going to do that this week. We have decided that we're not going to wait till we can be with our clients face-to-face to execute wills. We're going to do them virtually. It falls outside of the law in Ontario. But to be honest, our law society, like your bar associations and our courts, and I don't know if there's any other Canadians on the call, have not been proactive in addressing the reality. Current state of affairs.
You could have just said reality and it would have covered that and so much more, right?
Yeah. So I've spent the day developing a policy and a procedure to deal with virtual will signing and powers of attorney for the next ongoing system. With your other lady that talked about reducing fees or being a budget person or what have you, I work in a relatively competitive real estate market in a small town, and everybody wants to undercut everybody else, and I have never dropped my fees, and no one has ever complained. Because if they don't want to hire you at your fee set, then they're going to complain if you reduce your fees. Those are going to be the people that nickel and dime you over a photocopy or a phone call. So that's my small bit of advice to you about changing your fee structure. I say jack it up. I've never had somebody challenge my bill. So I'm lucky in that respect.
You know who our happiest members are? We got 400 members. You know who the happiest ones are?
The ones that don't discount.
The happiest with their relationship with how to manage a small law firm, I mean.
Oh, okay. Well, I need to meet them.
Well, the happiest ones. So when I do a private VIP day, it's $15,000 for half a day. Four firms all come to my house. I have a conference room in the basement of my house, and we built a custom conference room there. And each firm invests $15,000, and we sit there for 2 days, and we work on half a day, half a day, half a day, half a day, four really, really mission-critical, game-changing problems, opportunities, strategies, things like that. Those people are thrilled because they get the most attention. They get the most help. The people who are happy are the people who sign up for a $500 virtual bootcamp. They get value. They get a lot of value. They're going to be very happy. They're going to be very happy they did it. They're going to be very satisfied. They're going to get a ton of value. Things will be better. But I'm not going to lie to you. They're not going to get the same thing as investing $15,000 to have half a day of my undivided personal attention in my own home.
I don't disagree.
And I've got a waiting list for VIP days.
I don't disagree with you. It's no different than in my own practice, right? I go out and I do.
I was agreeing. I was sharing that with you to validate your point. We were both saying the same thing.
Yeah.
That if the clients who are, I want to pay as little as possible, who end up being the most unhappy, because what they end up doing is they end up paying too little. They end up saying, I only want to pay for a pint. So you end up giving them a quart when it actually takes a gallon to help them.
Yeah, I'm going to think that the first word is a small unit and the bigger, the last word is a bigger unit, because I'm a metric girl up here in the north.
They end up, they want to, they,
sorry.
They
it's like a shot versus a tall boy versus a big beer jug, right?
You're making it too easy to make a Canadian joke.
Go for it.
It's just, you know, Canadians, alcohol, get it.
Yeah, listen, we like our rye up here, I'm not going to lie. And we've needed some of it over the last couple of weeks, to be honest.
You know, we have a Canadian office.
I heard you mention that, and I don't know where it is, and I would like
neither
to reach
I.
out to
I've
them because
they
will understand our situation. Oh, well, maybe Stephanie would be kind enough to let me know where it is.
I don't know where it is
you're
either.
You're not invited to go. They just work there.
Okay. Because they would be super helpful with the challenges that are different. I mean, the law is the law, right? But, you know, still we have different circumstances here.
No, you don't.
Well, with our societies and our agencies and, you know, because they're all stupid, in my opinion.
None of your problems have anything to do with that.
Well, you're probably right.
We have members from Canada. We've got at least 3 or 4 or 5 members from Canada. And they come to our live quarterly meetings in the United States, and they come to our workshops in the United States, and they dial their phone in Canada and speak to us in the United States, and they send their emails from Canada, and we receive them in the United States, and we send our emails back from the United States, and they get them back in Canada. Except some of our members who are based in the United States, the CEO who's assigned to them lives in Canada, and it goes the other way around.
Okay, because we have some restrictions on... Well, maybe not. Maybe we don't have restrictions on who can be sort of an officer within our structure. I'd have to check our rules, but I'm sure that...
You're just dying to lawyer this thing to death and find every problem you can, aren't you? None of that has anything to do with anything that you need to focus on to make your law firm run like a business.
I think what I need is someone who understands the finances that can help me.
Oh, sorry. The finances in Canada are completely different.
What I need is myself, who isn't going to soft sell it to me. That's what I need. Right? I need somebody.
I think you need someone who's going to tell you the truth and call you on your BS.
And not gently.
Well, listen. I'm just going to ask you a series of questions and let's just get a yes or no answer, okay?
Okay, go.
Would you ever encourage a client, a friend, a family member to invest in a business that was being run by a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant technician who did not have a written business plan for how their business was supposed to actually function?
Oh, never.
Why not?
Well, because you need a plan. You always need a plan.
Okay. But this person, let's say that the person is a chef and it's a restaurant, it's the world's greatest chef and everyone loves his cooking and people line up for miles around to taste his samples. But only he has no business plan for his restaurant.
There's no proven track record that he's going to make a profit and they're going to get their money back.
All right. So before you would allow or encourage one of your clients or one of your friends or family to invest in a restaurant or any kind of other kind of a business, you want to make sure that the business plan had clear, objective, measurable financial goals.
Yeah, yes? and it was a viable enterprise. Yes, I tell my corporate clients that all the time. Get a business plan.
You'd want to make sure that there was a marketing plan with a budget, right?
Yes.
And you'd want to make sure that there was a sales strategy for consistently, reliably, predictably converting prospective customers, patients, passengers, diners, customers,
yes,
guests, yes, into paying clients.
Yes.
And you'd want to make sure that the products and services that the business delivers are clearly delineated. And the answer isn't come in and we'll do whatever you want.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
And you'd want to make sure that all of those products and services had clear build sheets with documented processes and procedures and systems and checklists and templates and examples and samples that they could then hire, train, manage, hold team accountable against, and build a consistent product efficiently.
Yes.
And then you'd want to make sure that someone actually understood the cost of delivering the services and that the pricing strategies were rationally related to the cost of delivering the services and the profit goals.
Yes.
Yes. And then you'd want to make sure that there are financial controls, including a 12-month forward-looking budget, cash flow projections, budget variance reports, accounts receivable reports, and other metrics and things to keep track of.
Correct.
Okay. Now here's my big question. Do you have a business plan for how your law firm is supposed to run that includes a marketing plan, a sales strategy,
documented process? I am 75% there. So what I don't have is all of the processes documented. We're working on that now because we have a little bit more free time when I'm not making calls to clients, which was a very helpful idea, by the way. Because every time I hire staff, they do it their own way, and then I have to fire them because it's not their name on the door, it's mine. So of the things that you talked about, that big long list, I am 75% there. I have an annual budget. We have matrix that we have to hit every day. We have, you know, a conversion strategy for old wills to be redrafted. I do manage my AR. And yes, I do look at budget versus reality because I'm a CPA. So good. On that end, the day-to-day financial management of the business, I'm quite good at. Where I need help is conversion and selling because I'm not a natural salesperson.
All right. And last question is, do you agree that all things being equal, a business is going to be more profitable if there's an experienced CEO who's built hundreds of them running it? Or at least helping to run it.
Yes. I am shamed out of my mind because this is what I used to do. I used to take fledgling businesses and turn them around. And now I have not necessarily a fledgling business, but I've had more costs than I need with hiring and firing staff that don't do the work.
So what are your financial goals? How much do you want to take out of this business? Let's say 24 months from now, how much income do you want to be taking out of the business? Total owner benefits, the salary, the benefits, the tax,
So I want US, to clear, say, I want to yeah. clear for myself $100,000 a year. Right now I'm pulling out about 60, and I have a young lawyer that works for me. And by the way, we don't have staff. We don't have clerks. So I've just hired an experienced clerk to do a lot of the admin work that I do.
Okay.
Because I need a clerk. I can't be out litigating files and not.
You understand it would be a lot easier if you'd let me help you make $300,000 a year
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we grossed 350 last year.
I said it would be a lot easier if you'd let me help you earn $300,000 a year.
I'd be happy with that.
Do you understand it would be easier if you let me help you earn $300,000 than telling me you only want to earn $100,000?
For sure.
It's easier to take $300,000 out of a firm than to take $100,000 out of a firm.
Okay. So I sent a note the other day. Maybe you can have somebody call me. I work 7 days a week now because I'm working in my basement. It makes it a lot easier.
The way it works is go to howtomanage.com.
I did put in notes through there. I did do that. I thought somebody was going to ring me, but I'll do it again.
So you scheduled an appointment with a date and a time, and you got a confirmation email saying confirming date and time, and then you got
to a young fellow on your website through your virtual chat thing, and he was going to set it, but I will do it through the appointment section.
Yeah, do that. Go to howtomanage.com/appointment.
Stephanie's already sent a link. God love her. Or maybe that's you.
No, that's her.
She's awesome. I thank you very much for you taking this time with us.
And listen, Colleen, I'm going to tell you one last thing and then I'm wrapping up. Okay? Your whole story about how you're embarrassed and you're ashamed and all that kind of stuff. What do you think I'm going to tell you to do with that story?
Oh, tell it to your clients.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tell it to your clients. That story will build a multi-million dollar law firm with that story. I promise you.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I'd like that because I'm getting old.
We're all getting old. All right, listen, everyone. Tomorrow, it's all about marketing. Marketing, 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 marketing. And we're talking about marketing plans and marketing strategies and a marketing system to take all the stuff we've been talking about all week long and start to build a system around it so it begins to work for you. All right, Stephanie, I'm off the call.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.